Blog Talk Radio.
Just a horse, just a horse, just a horse, just a horse now.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Today, the air date of this episode is the 4th of July, 2023. Tonight's episode, which is inspired by the Anchorman tonight, is Mental Death, Mental Slavery, and Poverty. And our opening track right there you heard was made 50 years ago, called Ship Ahoy by the OJs. On July 4th, 1776, I'm just wondering how many of our people were brought here in inhumane conditions, brought here as cattle or chattel, human cargo, the wealth that they brought. And then, of course, individuals such as the dump, as in human shit, and I want to be very, very clear about this, and Ron the Panties of Florida, and all the supporters of him, Joe Gibson, what have you. What you clowns need to do is sit up there and recognize some true facts about your history and your brutalization, not only against African peoples, but against the indigenous people here too, who are already here, when you brought your smallpox, your filth, your disease, your ignorance, your drug addiction. And the first form of biochemical warfare is when you gave the indigenous peoples of America blankets with smallpox in it. Okay, so our outline tonight is mental death, hatred of self, both individually.
Sleepy Joe. Don't forget Sleepy Joe.
Okay, say that again there, Brother Che.
Forget Sleepy Joe. He descends directly from slave owners, along with a slew of other current politicians.
Right. Oh, yes, sir. And then, of course, too, due to the Ma'afa, as Dr. Marimba Ani has wrote in her writings, you know, a great scholar from Hunter's College, and she was also, too, a student of Dr. John Henry Clark. We're also going to discuss the lack of cohesiveness of self and self-destruction promotions through an institution called Hollywood, and to the Screen Actors Guild, to the Screen Directors Guild, to all the major motion picture studios there, Warner Brothers, Universal, Netflix, and what have you. You know how we feel about you, and you know our famous two words for you individuals. And then also, too, we are embracing other groups more so than ourselves. Also, too, we are using Eurocentric values other than our Afrocentric values, you say, in regard to judging ourselves and development of ourselves.
I got these white supremacist trolls on my post about here. They troll on my post and say happy 4th of their lies, and they on here trolling. They've been asked to call in, so I don't know if they're calling in, but I got a caller out of the 720, which is Denver, Mahari area. And
okay.
I mute the caller, find out who they are. Happy to call you. 720-8135 last. What is your name and where are you calling from? 720. You're live. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay, yeah. They just listening.
Press 1.
Press 1 if you want to be added to the queue. I'm going to put you back on mute.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as we all know, on July 4th, 1776, you know, we was chattel, being branded. They were stealing our physical labor.
The Anchorman.
Our intellectual.
Yeah, 516-418-5996. And we're still waiting on you damn Biden supporters to call in.
I'm still waiting for
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You guys are more than welcome to call in. You know what I'm saying? And we're figuring today, with it being the 4th of their lives, you know, that they would have our phone banks full. But, however, we do recognize the fact that we are being shadow banned.
All right, my bad.
Because they cannot deal with this truth. And this truth that we speak here on this platform has got some heat on it, which is more hotter than out here in the city of Las Vegas right now.
Yeah.
Also, too, we're going to be crumb-bumming on Miss Candace Owens as well, too, and Dr. Ben Carson. And starting with them, those are two of the miseducated fools that I've ever seen. Okay? Because when you hate yourself, okay, and you kind of man your own people's progress, and then of course you want to crumb bomb with non-truths and half-truths about those who have made the ultimate sacrifice of you know, for our liberation, and then not to mention all the black soldiers who fought in the Revolutionary War as well too. And then, and that is in all the wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to the War of 1812 to the Philippine situation of 1898, World War One, World War Two, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam conflict, Desert Storm, Operation Enduring Freedom, and Afghanistan. But however, on the fourth, yes, sir.
Can you hear Lady Chair?
Yes.
He said yes.
Yes.
I'm in the studio now.
Yeah, but she has to stay muted or it's going to be echoing.
Right.
So I think she can't hear us from where I'm sitting.
Am I talking loud enough, Brother Chewbacca?
Can you hear her clearly, Chewbacca?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Chat room, and should be able to open up the chat room. Let's check some of our hate mail.
Hopefully, some awesome call in so we can get a challenge. We got to discuss it.
Let's see who's in the chat. It's just us.
I'm
okay.
Excited.
Yeah, go ahead, Lady Chat. Lady Chat got a big announcement, y'all. Go ahead, Lady Chat.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, that it could be good. I can't be bought, can't be bought. I can't be, you know, indoctrinated.
Hold the line.
My own mindset. I think it'll be okay. I'm kind of excited a little bit. It's not going to be as strenuous as Jesse's campaign was, at least because I had to practice. And I had done a lot of work, so it's not gonna be as hard. I see that what we see right now with the way racism, white supremacy is going, they're showing their ass, and really, I don't really think we should be worried. I think we just gonna sit back and watch, just take a little break and chill for a little bit. The reason I say that, family, is because we're not in the middle of shit. We're not out of shit. But, you know, let them continue to fuck up. You know, the LGBTQ get a lot of legislation back. They get a lot of safety nets and things put in place for them.
Yeah, certain states, not everywhere.
That shit is ridiculous. They get little areas all to themselves. shit is crazy. So I think that this, all this stuff that's happening is also exposing what we've been talking about, which is a major agenda. We've been talking about that.
I wonder what happened to our connection there.
Chewbacca. Chewbacca. Okay. I'm going to just keep talking until somebody... My name is Ja'Kai, I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Thank you for tuning in, sister. Were you able to hear anything? Because we had technical difficulties.
Yes, it did. I was able to hear a nice part of the conversation, and it did cut out, so I did have to call back.
Okay, well, you were able to hear me, sister?
Yes, yes, sister. I was able to hear some parts of your comments. Yes.
About the truckers. The truckers going off strike. What was the last thing you remember hearing before it cut out? Hello?
Okay, the last thing I remember hearing, I want to say that it was regarding, she was talking about using our vote. If I was hearing correctly, it was something along the lines of using our vote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks for the no vote. Okay, that's anybody here.
Yes. Well, thank you, sister, for listening. I was filling in time because we didn't know if anybody could hear me. So I was just filling in a lot of empty space so that just in case it was still running, the people listening wouldn't get bored. But, sister, what would you like to contribute?
Well, I would like to contribute. Basically, I am I'm on the fence currently. I'm on the fence about celebrating the 4th of July per se.
There's nothing on the fence about, sister. Ain't nothing to be on the fence about.
Well,
it's either you're with the call or you ain't.
Well, basically, I am on the fence because I have several members of the military, members of the military in which they fought. So I struggle with, you know what I'm saying, diminishing their service. Like, they still gave a lot to, you know what I'm saying, they gave a lot for my freedom.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I struggle. Right.
Okay,
and I think
I
that independence means just that. It doesn't mean independence, you know, just 1776. It means our independence, our freedom now. So I think that, so that's why I struggle. And also, I wanted to just a moment. Let me.
You don't have to feel any kind of way. That's a very serious, a good concern, you know. When we have people that have, fought for this country, of course you would feel that way. You know,
right.
Of course.
And our ancestors fought in every war this country ever had. We're the only people that didn't fight a war against America.
Yes.
There was the Mexican-American War. There was the War 1812 with the British and Canada. There was the war between the Spanish-American War.
Right.
So we're the only group in this country that literally has not fought a war against this country. And we built this country, United States of America. So our ancestors left sweat and fought.
You're a black American woman, great.
And I also wanted to say that I also struggle with basically my whole thing is that if not here then where, basically I don't know anywhere that I would be treated as a black person, as a black woman. I don't know of any country where I would be treated as well as I'm treated here in America. I don't know. It's not here then where. I don't know of another country. I mean, and even in Africa, they don't have as much freedom as we have to speak and to say, as women. And the LGBT, they don't even tolerate that in Africa. So I'm just wondering, like, this is definitely the land of the free. This is definitely the home of the brave. Like, I kind of struggle with, listening to the whole diminishing of the country, because I'm absolutely proud of my country. I'm absolutely proud of who I am. I mean, I was born here. I was raised here. So how could I not be proud of, the accomplishments and such? So my thing is, if not here, then where? I don't know another country, not Russia, not even Africa. You know, I have friends who live in Africa now. I'm sorry?
Yes. Can you hear me? It's the host, Sharon Kroomer.
Okay, now I can hear you.
I have a question to ask you. So would you be what we consider so-called African American, foundational Black American, foundational Black American descendant of American chattel slavery.
Okay, repeat that question for me, please. Let me just. I apologize. There's fireworks going on. I tell you, it's like going down outside. So I apologize if I ask you to repeat yourself, or I apologize. Thank you.
What grade
you go to? I love the term. You know, I call myself an African American, but I use the term Black American more.
Okay.
Okay, great. That's all I wanted to know.
So yes.
Yes, she's foundational Black American.
That's it.
I use the term. Exactly, because if I identify with who I am, then I have to go along with where I was, you know, the country where I was born. I have to identify with who I am. I have to identify with the basis. And sure enough, I mean, we've done the whole ancestry thing. We've done that, but
English is from here. You know?
Right, she's FBA. So, okay, so what we're getting at is, okay, we can understand your patriotism because there's really no other people group that's more patriotic than us.
Yes.
Like I said, we fought in every war this country's ever had. At the same time, we can't neglect the fact that on July 4th, 1776, we were not free. And anybody that looked like us was not free in this country.
Okay, well, I'm reading from a different perspective because I come from a perspective that not all Black people in this country were slaves. I mean, we, you know, we have proof, you know, of such. So I come from a not all Black people in this country were slaves. You know, I do know that there was a nice portion of Black people that were slaves, but not all Black people were slaves. So, you know, I guess
is a free person of color.
Hold on, my lady's speaking. Go ahead.
Yes. Part of my lineage will be from the free people of color, right? So was it?
Right.
So we understand from through the Louisiana part.
Purchase.
And I'm Creole. I'm fair skinned Creole. Black, Indian, French. Okay? That is my lineage. My father is Black. My mother is on the European side, right? And I'm still digging deep, okay? And I come from California. So, you know, we are heavily invested here, you know, on this program and many others that we run, in the investment in our people, our descendants of chattel slavery or what they can trace back to whatever part, 1700s, whatever. Yes, you're absolutely correct. Not everybody was slave. You're absolutely correct. And you shouldn't feel any kind of scorn with being patriotic.
She said everybody Black in this country wasn't a slave.
Yes. But, I don't want to say but, we are concerned with foundation, we are concerned with Black Americans here. Not the Black immigrant class, you know, we're invested with our people here. That is our concern.
Well, absolutely, I get it. But my uncle is currently looking into our family heritage in which, you know what I'm saying, that he's finding that we came over for religious freedom, we came over for money. Like, he's finding that we, you know what I'm saying, yes, a portion of our family were slaves, but he's finding that we also came over as, you know, free people. And I don't know, I don't think that narrative is caught up enough. Because
Well, the narrative that's actually not taught enough is the fact that we were already here. Only 6% of the Africans that were displaced from Africa during the transatlantic slave trade ended up in this part of the world, meaning North America, what is now North America, the United States of America. Like I said, we literally built this country, and we are still compensated for it, but we still haven't gotten compensated for it. So, I mean, I can understand the patriotism.
how you feel about reparations?
What are your thoughts on
Well, I'm just thinking that in the sense of where else could you go to have your religious freedom, to have your radio show, as you have, you know, to be able to speak freely? Where else could I go to have a whole month dedicated to black people and to our accomplishments? Where else could I go? You know, it doesn't happen in any other country.
Everywhere
you know, it doesn't happen
go,
in any other
oppressed.
Right.
So where else could I go to?
She's saying outside of she's saying outside of this country, where can she go as a black woman and not be persecuted? But what we're saying is the whole planet is a prison, and we're all victims of it.
Are you concerned about religious freedom? May I inquire what religion are you referring to? Because you could your religion anywhere you want.
No, absolutely not. You can't go North Korea, South Korea. I mean, they control everything. Russia, like, you can go. You can't really even do that
like
in China.
Like a totalitarian dictatorship country.
Is that where you would like
right,
to
they
go?
Dictatorship. There's communism. So, no, there's nowhere freer than America. This is absolutely the home of the free. You know what I'm saying? The land of the brave.
Yeah.
Like, there's nowhere free.
The
I've looked it up,
it's even that
you know, I've looked it up. I was interested. And possibly,
we're the ones that made
you know,
that possible.
Exactly. Exactly.
It wasn't
so,
the white supremacist plan to be the founder of the
woman.
It's very difficult to be a black woman anywhere in the world. Very, very, very difficult. So,
right.
The melon is value. Everything about you is a value to oppressors. You know, and you are absolutely correct.
This starts. Oh my God! I got to get some thoughts about that.
Absolutely correct. Where would you want to go?
So my thing is, you know, so that's where the whole proud comes from. When you really know where you come from, when, you know, I know a section of my family, was, you know, didn't come from slaves. My uncle is currently investigating that and doing more research now. But when you know where you come from, you know, it's kind of different. And as you stated, like, you know, we do have Native Americans who are in our family as well, and they talk about black people, training with black people, you know, things like that. So I know we were here. You know, I know that this is, you know, I know that they are not just Native. I'm Native. I'm a Native American.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I, that's my term. Like, that's
Aboriginal American.
Well, right?
Yeah, I mean, the oldest people are the awesome people. And they were around 16,000 years ago, and they were black people. So that's why they have all these towns called Folsom, all these prisons named Folsom. We are the original people, not just on this continent, but all over the world.
Yeah, original people. Yes, ma'am. And you know, it's you know, you probably know the thing about the Native American thing. You know, a lot of people did not really know the truth about that. That we were also excited too.
Yep, the box of the last tribe.
You know, then those were the what did the fair kitty was?
Yep, the Cherokee.
Well, I think that a lot of that came from not knowing exactly where, you know, where we're originally from. And, you know, basically, what you mean not knowing originally where we're from, like, you're from here. Like, we know where we're from. What do you mean? You know, so I don't know. I just.
We know from here. Getting an argument from me on that. We are definitely from here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
because I have one living relative other than my half-brother. And I don't know nothing. I didn't know nothing about my lineage except for a few sentences about my father. They had passed away before I was born. And I started to look because I had a condition, and I had to get myself a genetic test. And it pulled up my stuff. You know, I didn't do the 23andMe and all that stuff like that because that's false. And this is before reparations and people talking about all this stuff became like a major wave. This is like in 2012 when I was just wanting to know about me and my condition, okay? And not having my mother being European and racist.
Let me check the chat.
I grew up for a little while very confused. Because I lived a multiracial dialogue with myself, you know, And because I'm so fair-skinned, you know, I dealt with a lot of colorism. However, I knew who I was. Right? So now, after the last 3-4 years, I came to an understanding, me personally, that we are at war. Black people are at war with everybody. Okay? We're at war with Asians. We're at war with politics. We're at war with white people. We're at war with other black people. We're at war with immigrants. We're at war with everybody.
Oh,
and we are at the bottom.
Hold on, babe. I got a caller. Lock number.
Man.
Oh, finish. And then I'm going to ring this person.
Okay, real quick. I just wanted to say this one thing. I can understand where you are coming from. I right now currently, and it really didn't matter to me. It was only because my man and my brother encouraged me to go ahead and up in California. So when the reparations thing started, to go ahead and look into that. Because I'm from California.
Have you been a victim of racism,
white supremacy, my whole life. No passes given to me. Okay? I've been awarded a state. Nothing. I have nothing. Never had nothing, right? And so I've been doing the work too. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Okay? Every little piece I find, it's gone. I don't have nobody to talk to about it. I can't ask questions to my white mother because she feels that's her shame. My father, who she loves, but doesn't want to admit it, is a shame and a secret to her. I don't look like my half-brother. See what I'm saying? And we live different lives. I'm black first. I will always be black first. Okay? I said black first before it was like a thing. Black, Indian, first. Hear me? Check the box. But I had a life of absolute confusion where I didn't know what to check. And so it stalled me out. Now I'm finding little pieces. It's going to take a while. Some people are blessed to have a history. They can go talk to their grandmamas on both sides, grandpa on both sides, and they have a list. They can trace it back all the way to wherever. You know what I mean? And so some people are blessed in that manner. We're foundational.
Right.
We have to hold our head up with pride. You're right. We can't just go anywhere. You know, but if you wanted to, you could. It's your world. You just take it by the hand. You don't have to let nobody tell you nothing.
Go ahead. Oh. Caller 111111111. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Well, first of all, no, this ain't Sarge, man. This is Master Mitch. What's going on?
This is Brother Nas.
Yeah, man. What's
Sarge.
On?
I thought you were Sarge. What up, Nas? How you doing, brother? What you got to contribute to the conversation tonight? Happy 4th of their lives.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm cool, man. Yeah, happy, you know, whatever y'all want to call it to y'all, man. No question. No, man, but, I mean, what y'all talking about is important. Everybody wants to know, you know, their ancestry, their story, and because ours is so convoluted just because of so much that has been done to make sure things were written a certain way in a Eurocentric view, that, you know, we try hard to find stuff. And sometimes we pick up a lot of misinformation or disinformation, and we spread it to other people without knowing. And, you know, it's a long, complicated process, but I think y'all said it best earlier when you said, you know, black first.
It's like hard.
Everything else, you know, it is what it is, preference thing. If you're a ADOS person or FBA person or whatever, or if you're a Pan-African, whatever it is, if that's what you feel like is your world, roll, go ahead and roll on that roll. I just don't think we should be arguing with people once they've made their choice. I'm not trying to convince ADOS people they should be paying after.
You got to argue with them.
Right. It's like my thinking is more Pan-African, but I'm not trying to confuse somebody, but I'm not trying to, you know, convince somebody else.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't leave it to the salvation, then it won't go.
Right.
They want to say,
right,
what
right.
can we do? We can't keep begging. You know, it's protected from our revolution.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we should be celebrating as a people.
Celebrating other people, what do you mean?
It's a holiday. Their holiday.
Right.
And,
stuff like that.
I celebrated it for a little bit when I was ignorant and I didn't know any better, you know? But now I know what I know, and me personally, in my opinion, can't do it, you know? In my experience.
Right. See, the thing I would want to add, because I think, I don't know if y'all listen to Dr. Carr and Professor Hunter to do that show, but the concept he keeps bringing up is the government structure and our own structure. So
yes.
This holiday,
yes,
which they're celebrating for patriotic.
Right, we need to have a parallel structure to this. And we need to replace this system.
Let me say this though. Let me break down how he puts it. Because in his context, he's saying that already exists. The social structure, what, you know, American society considers things. Governor structure is things we do. So, like this holiday, they busting fireworks and, you know, celebrating patriotism and the love of country. Our structure looks more like you getting to go see your cousins who you ain't seen in a while. And you're putting some food on the grill,
right.
And the people who play cards going to play cards and drink. And then in the night, hey, you got to see everybody, and y'all go home. But there was nothing there about flag waving and reading the
right.
Declaration or nothing like that. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
that already exists within it. You know what I mean? We're not doing these things for the same
right.
reason as them. And like you talked about, fought in every war. Now, when we fought in those wars first time, Douglas was out there telling us to go because it'll help us as far as citizenship and getting rights. Then Du Bois said the same thing for World War I. Now, later on, they said, hey, maybe we was wrong in telling them to do that because it didn't turn out best, but you realize what the goal was. The goal, they didn't join the army for patriotism. They joined it for the benefits, the wages, and for a little piece of more citizenship, a little bit more fair. That's what they were trying to get. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just different context for everything. Especially when it comes to America and black folks.
Yes. Let me just propose this to you, just for the sake of dialogue. Do you feel that context is a form of how we've been indoctrinated our whole lives?
I would agree with that statement. But then even within the indoctrination, it's like how much of it catches on and how much of it is just people serving their own purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like when a black person says, I'm an American, they're not saying it in the same way that somebody else says, I'm an American. You know what I'm saying? It's a totally different relationship.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point you made, though.
Yeah, I said it because I feel like
completely it's different experience.
A context question. For those that are not codified or, you know, in sleeping and cognitive dissonance, you know, it's a good way to bring the people into dialogue. Because everybody is what it seems like to me in this 2023 last five months. We have separated not just from them, but also
us.
You know, if somebody is talking our same codified language or they're not with the same kind of views, you know, we seem to shy away and start separating.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know what, we're tired. They're tired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we don't have the patience.
Yeah.
Because right now we're at war. We're at war.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, 500 years ago.
And to that indoctrination point, when you meet or hear a black person or see a black person who looks as if they've been indoctrinated, it's completely obvious to all other black people around them.
Yeah.
And then they get mad at the rest of black folks. Like, oh, man, that dude, man, he sounds like, you know, we got our, We got certain slurs for them that we use. Now, why did the community come up with those things? Because that person is so far outside the regular black experience, the other black folks don't rock with them. They don't identify with them.
Yeah, we all scared to be around her because it's very good. I'm just going to say it because we live unapologetically over here in Chicago. You know, that coolness stuff is going to rub off on me.
And they always break their damn cool. It might pay temporarily to be a coon, but eventually they're going to get rid of your ass. Like, right. They always break their tools.
We get tired of being tokenized, and nobody stand up for themselves. When we stand up for the same black people that would allow themselves to get tokenized by them, if you look it up like, man, you didn't get paid for that, why are you doing it? You know, they're shaming us. You got to get right. You need to read some more books.
But it makes sense, though, because if somebody would be a traitor to the group that they're from, the people that they're with don't trust them either fully. Because, well, if you'll do that to them, hell, what would you do to us if you got the chance? So they don't fully trust them either.
Right. So it's almost like being bought.
Yeah.
Your loyalty is to the master. You still
love
my kid. You can't get out. You go back. You keep going back.
The Candace Owens of the world, they figured out the game quick.
Right. That's why Harriet Tubman said what she said and did what she did. That's why Stagecoach Mary said what she said and did what she did. Because if you ain't trying to get off the plantation, then you got to be dealt with.
Let's propose something else to you, my brother. You know, as an adult man, right? You know, we have that genetic trauma?
Epigenetics.
Yeah. Okay, so check it out, right? You feel like when some of them are doing that they have it, that their ancestors are probably over there. You know, still go see the plantation, right? So they never ran off. They never freed themselves or try to free themselves. Not even a slip. And then there's some of us that are just very rebellious and don't know where it comes from. And they just know.
We are our ancestors.
Totally, activists?
Radicals.
Yeah, we're radical, right? You don't know where it comes from. But would you say that it's possibly in our DNA, considering all the things that we've been through?
Yeah, we come from a long line of... I come from Panthers and Garveyites. That's just what I immediately know of recent. But I know our history goes back so much further.
I struggle with both worlds.
Yeah.
Things I don't want to leave.
Damn.
I walk out no problem.
Let's go.
I'm like, man, fuck the police. I'm trained up. I'm gone. You can't tell me that. I'm going to tell you no. You know what I mean? It's not balanced, but I can feel it in my DNA. My skin starts to feel excited, like, oh, God, I got to go. I'm surrounded by they're trying to mold me this way. I like it. And then there's other times I'm like, yes, man. I'll be here. You feel like, you feel it in your soul where you don't, you think it's genetic. You think that's a myth.
Oh, I have no way of knowing. Like, I've heard the, who is it, Dr. Joyce on that one? Joy the Groove?
Yeah.
On epigenetics. Right. As a person
with no
on,
if science, you can get her on,
I, yeah,
brother, because I know you're down in Atlanta. She be going to Atlanta a lot. If you could get her on our program, that would be great, because we definitely love to have a sister on there along with Dr. Christina Parks. The sister.
Are you about the state of black men right now?
Oh, my God.
I wish I had that kind of connection, my brother, but no, I don't have that kind of connection. It's where I could get her to appear. But yeah, man, I've seen people talk about her work and stuff, but me having no background in science, I can't, you know. I can't speak to it.
Yeah, I've read some of her work.
I can just say salute her work.
Up there with a Francis Press, that's for sure.
Right. And then you got all these people trying to clown Francis Cresswell. It's like, man, do you know she's from a generational family of doctors? a generational family of doctors,
right?
Multiple PhDs. She's been doing that for all her. She did that work all her life, and all they want to do is bring up her theory and try to clown it. When it's like, okay, do you have anything to dispute anything she said? And like,
no,
I have a
they don't.
Okay, so how are you trying to dispute what she's saying? Go look up her debate with Shockley. When Shockley was trying to make these claims about intelligence, and she went up there and cooked
him
in. Because
got
he
that
is that.
Down immediately. Yeah.
Right. Like, man.
I regret it. I had the chance of meeting her, to meet her in 2016, and it was like $30 or something to see her, and at the time I didn't have the bread to go see her, but I wanted to see her so bad because, as a matter of fact, she ended up dying that same year in my state.
Man, that is crazy.
So, and I feel like the capacity of somebody to speak on that woman is very intelligent and part of her life,
right.
Very valuable.
Just anybody that don't read the ISIS papers know what's up.
Yeah.
Like, she broke it all down in the ISIS papers, and the ISIS papers ain't no little book. That is a thick-ass book. It takes a minute to read through all of that. And
she's doing all of this at the risk of losing her check.
Yeah.
Right. And she's at the risk of losing her check because, of course, the university ain't going to fight with you.
The only one
who has
black psychology even taken serious in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you're doing that, you're taking a risk, man, because the university ain't going to stand up for you when the pressure comes. They're going to toss you away because they don't want you putting their money at risk. So
she's
doing this
because
she knew what it was, man. But, yeah, man, I'm going to check out, man. I just wanted to call in real quick. I saw y'all were going. Speaking to my people.
Yes. Peace. Black State Dangerous,
yeah,
staying power.
As always, same, bro. Y'all be easy. Hey, when next time y'all?
Friday, Grand Rising with Tabaka at 7, the 7th. It will be 11 a.m. your time. Because you're in the Eastern, right? Yeah, you're in Georgia.
Yep.
So, yeah, 11 a.m. You already know the numbers.
All right, I'm going to try to make that, man. If I don't, I'll just listen to the replay. Anyway, good hearing from y'all. And, man, y'all have a good show tonight.
You too. All right. Thank you.
Peace.
All right, Sister Jackie, did you have anything that, else to contribute to the conversation?
No, I'm glad to be a part of the conversation. Thank you. I'm just basically glad to be a part of the conversation.
Yes.
We are blessed.
All right, go ahead, Lady Cherry. Shabaka's calling me, so go ahead.
You want to talk? You down, you know. You almost don't want to hear black people talk. At least not about the black agenda. I want to feel everybody wants to feel included. Yeah, as I filed the paperwork to run for city council in Aurora at large, I was moved and inspired by Jen's campaign of running for mayor. I had never in my life met somebody so ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
That was like me. And I was like very majorly impressed. And I worked very hard on the major's campaign. Me and him. And we went through it. Everybody wanted to laugh and talk shit to us. And yet they tried to tokenize him and utilize his knowledge of everything black to suit them. And I was inspired. I was inspired and I was angry, but I had time to, reflect. And since I lived in a different area, since I was running for office.
Okay, she brought this back.
And Jesse and my dad's brother kind of talked me into it.
She brought it.
And I felt like they're just joshing me. They're just pretending. They're just messing with me, you know? And I said, I'm one of those type of people that I feel very challenged because people don't think I can do anything. So I was like, I'm going to show you.
Okay, money's
on. You know, and I filed. And I was very...
Oh, Lord, there's some distance in the chat, Shabaka.
Huh?
Distance in the chat.
Oh, what they're saying in the chat room, man.
Oh, is it Joe?
Yeah.
Joe, I just want to tell you, fuck Gold Jim.
Okay, so we got old Joe Gibson in the chat room.
And not leave your name and your real problem for them to really get back to you and address your concerns. What is that?
He must have
directly
connected
him. Wait, wait, hold on.
Okay, all right. Well, then what they need to do is start, you know, cutting a check. You know what I'm saying? You know, the fool down there in Florida, the state of Florida needs to impeach the panties. Dump, he belongs in jail, you know what I'm saying? And he'll probably, you know, buy his way up out of it, you see. It's because, you know, this is supposed to be Independence Day, but it's clearly evident that they got one form of justice for us and one form of justice for others. Yeah.
Lady Tay just wanted me to let you know she's going to talk about her campaign the last 20 minutes of the show.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
Okay, not a problem.
He's
okay,
in
did the anchorman call in?
No. The only people that called in, Shabaka, is you, Sister Jackie from Denver, and Brother Nas.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, we appreciate them calling in. You know what I'm saying? We really, really do. You know, we really do.
Yeah.
And then, okay, we're on air now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo. All
right. And so
that's Joe 336, last 4 8 6 4 4 4.
Last call, Brother Che.
What? Yeah. I think that's Joe Gibson. Yeah, the 336 number. Yeah. Bring him on.
Welcome, Joe Gibson.
Oh. New Orleans. That might be New Orleans, too. Shout out to Brother New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans, wake up in the chat, too.
Yeah. And tell them, definitely tell them greetings and what have you.
Definitely New Orleans, wake up. Definitely you call up. I think this is that suspect. He ain't even suspected no more. You are a white supremacist, Joe.
Oh.
This 336 number.
Yeah, that's Joe Gibson. And then, too, Joe, like I said, we try to be respectful to you, man. And, you know, we didn't appreciate the disrespect.
Yeah, you're really killing
you know,
it.
That you should...
Yeah,
hey,
I haven't said nothing.
No, you referred to our co-executive producer as a boy, Joe. We never disrespected you like that, man. I mean, you know, you could have, you know, different views and what have you, man, but you call that grown man a boy.
He did. He did disrespect me, and that's why I said that night.
No, you disrespected because, as usual, you think that you're entitled to every goddamn thing, and you're going to come on a black, pro-black platform, thinking you're just going to run
invited.
Your mouth. No. Like I said, you don't run nothing here.
I was invited
so
that
night,
by the way.
If you can be on your best behavior, you can stay.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to have to go.
Yeah, okay, well, he's a co-executive producer, and he has the power to do that, Joe. But, however, we are diametrically opposed philosophically, okay, which is great, which is beautiful, okay, I don't have a problem with. Plus, I've been on your platform, and I've been called every foul crap that there was. You know, I never went off on
By
you.
Me?
But
By
however,
me?
On your podcast over the years, man. You know what I'm
By
saying?
Me.
When Mandela
saying, have I ever called
no.
you anything on my podcast?
Okay, no, not you, but those who support you have called me foul names. Okay, but however, man, it's all great. Now, let me ask you this here, Joe. You are in North Carolina, right?
That's correct.
Okay, great, beautiful. Guess what, Joe? I'm out here, man, in Las Vegas, Nevada, man, at about 109 degrees. And do you know, man, I can come out here without having to put a sunscreen on? You know what I'm saying? You know, we are definitely the children of the sun. You know what I'm saying?
I run a landscaping business. I run a landscaping business for the last 15 years. I haven't put sunscreen on. So,
Okay. All righty. Okay. Yeah, landscaping is hard work. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, Joe, is that the current political fervor that is going on, you know, with the dump and that psycho that you got as the governor of Florida, man, about, well, critical race theory makes us feel bad. It should not make you feel bad, Joe. Now, when I'm saying you, I'm not talking about you personally, Joe, but on a collective basis, okay? Now, okay. This is Independence Day. In 1776, my people, man, were being brought here to the shores, and this is why that we play Ship Ahoy by the OJs that talks about the transatlantic slave trade, although there are those who says, oh, no, it didn't happen. We know better, because I had a source down in South Carolina that showed us, you know, photographs of the actual slave market, also to Charleston Harbor, where a lot of our people had came in, and then also to Joe, that I found out as well, too, that I stated on your platform, is because you had stated, oh, well, Shabaka, you know, your own people sold yourself into slavery. That is the biggest lie ever told. What had happened, Joe, is that the European had went down there with rum, whiskey, lies, deceit, okay, and then when he, quote-unquote, bought the slaves from African chiefs or kings and what have you, and when them got them over there to Gory Island, over there off the coast of Ghana, where your vice president, Kamala Harris, had went over there recently and deserved an Academy Award for that performance, okay, those who did the selling to Joe were kidnapped as well, too. Okay, now let's look at it this way, Joe. You got a slave ship here. You can say you can get in, say, about 160 people. So therefore, when they were force marched from various parts, you know, of the continent to Gory Island, okay, or the point of no return, okay, when they said, well, you know, hey, man, we got 15 extra slots right here that we could put on here. We're going to lose so much due to disease. We're going to lose so much due to the bad weather. Then they went on in and kidnapped the ones that did the selling, too. So please note that, Joe, and I researched that subject, man, for 10 years, okay, for 10 years. Now, we could disagree, just disagree agreeably. Okay, now you probably vote Republican or Democrat. It makes no difference to me. It's for the simple fact is that neither party, you know, has done us no good.
Shabaka, he in the chat talking about in 1807, Britain outlawed slavery. In 1820... the king of the African kingdom of Ashanti inquired with the Christians, did not want to trade slaves with him anymore since they worshiped the same God as the Muslims, and the Muslims were continuing with trade like before. No, Joe, they were not continuing to trade like before. Chattel slavery is a whole different beast, a whole different type of slavery. You're talking about dehumanizing whole human beings, not just them, but their prodigy for generations upon generations.
Exactly.
So, no, they are not the same. And even if that is true, Joe, they still practiced it all the way into the 19th and 20th century. So just because they, paper, make it seem like, oh, we're outlawing this. This is illegal now. They still practiced it. They still practice it to this day.
And let me say one thing real quick before we go. Joe gets it.
And then in California with the gold rush as well, too.
He's trying to break down the numbers of the slave trade on Okay, go ahead, ladies.
Okay, well, that's the study. That's the study Dr. DeGruy is doing.
Well, majority of we already know this, Joe.
Let me get this one sentence out.
You ain't telling us nothing new, Joe.
Let me get this one sentence out. Last time me and you talked, Joe, I was so upset. I was so angry. I think I actually shed a couple of personal little tears. I was so angry because you realize that your people rape our beautiful, beautiful black sisters.
And what people? What people? What people? What people? What people? You say your people. Hang on. What people?
Why are you willing alone? And here we go with a whole millennial class. Live around you. people were brought here or they were here and then they were enslaved. And whatever it was, you want to act like your people didn't do it. But what I'm talking about, your people raising our beautiful sisters. Our beautiful sisters, not only selling their babies, raping them and creating a cold type of other colors. Another being, like mulatto. They kept breathing the black out of it. It kept getting lighter and lighter. You know what you're doing? And selling them too.
What about the slave trade? What about the black, what about the ancient slavery under the Roman Empire?
We're talking about the transatlantic slave trade.
What happened here? With our people here.
Right, yeah, that's what we're talking about, what was going on Independence Day here in 1776 here.
Our women, our beautiful black women, impregnated them with your ugly genetics and created
up. See there? Well, now, see, it's okay for her to insult me, right? And I can't say nothing back, right? Did I say anything to insult you? Did I say anything?
No.
Okay, let's stay on the subject matter here, folks. Please, let's stay on the subject matter right here, Joe. Okay, because you see, Joe, okay, that there, you know, and that there was some very, very brutal stuff, man, in the U.S., man, and they got to face it, man. I mean, come
on,
man.
I didn't do it.
They
didn't do
it.
So why are you insulting me, though? Why are you insulting me?
People that look like you did it, though, and you benefited off of
what
they did.
What
are you wanting to or not?
Joe.
I didn't benefit.
Okay, but Joe, it's the narrative that you represent. Okay, it's the narrative that you represent. It's because I've listened to your show, man, and I've heard your people, you know, call in your show, man, make derogatory comments against black folks. You know what I'm saying?
And, you're absolutely correct. Okay. I don't control my callers, Chewbacca. Just like when you call in, I don't control what you say.
Didn't you say you were a Latin king in prison, Joe?
Oh, my God, Joe. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, why?
You did say that.
Why?
And you did mention something about that. And do let me say this right here. I'm putting it down right now. You know, whatever crew that somebody is from, you know, let's keep that separate. You see what I'm saying? Whatever crew or where somebody's from, let's keep that there separate.
Okay.
But the thing is that what we're talking about, and had it not been for chattel slavery in the United States, Joe, the United States would not have been the economical powerhouse that it became. You see what I mean? And then on top of it as well, too. Now, a thing I want to talk to Joe about, if I may, is that they got
Bank of America. Who do you bank with, Joe?
We don't want to know your
question. Well, who do you bank with? What difference does it make? I disagree with the banks. I'm against the Federal Reserve.
Okay, well, I agree with you on that there, Joe. I agree with you being against the Federal Reserve. Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I agree with you on that one right there. Okay.
I'm against the Federal Reserve, too. What's the point, Joe?
The point being is, how are we going to correct that system, get rid of that system out of this country? Because that system enslaves everybody.
I'm going to tell you that, Joe. This is why we need the tangibles, Joe. The $100 trillion in the tangibles, okay? See, this is a debt that is owed, okay? It's because, like I said, you know, man, that there was some of the most barbaric treatment of human beings, man, down through the history of mankind. Now, I know you got your man, Pianchi.
You know about the tree,
Miss Pearl. Where he at? Do you know about Jermaine?
Now let's look at how the Federal Reserve has stole all the money from the Freedmen's Bureau. You know what I'm saying? I think, who was that there? Brother Che, Brother Nas had brought that to our attention. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Okay. Is that of how the Federal Reserve has stole all the money from the Freedmen's Bureau off the money that they made, you know, off the sharecropping, you see, which was another form of slavery. And then the United States economy.
My ancestors weren't sharecroppers. My great-grandparents, it wasn't that long ago, Joe, my great-grandparents were sharecroppers.
You tell us that we had our own
slaves. Okay.
We buy
and
sell that. Come on now.
And then, of course, the sharecropping system, as you know,
Joe,
that you should know.
Like,
We still haven't been compensated for any of this.
Shit, the motherfuckers sitting in prison are slaves.
Well, wait a second. You were not enslaved, though. You were not, and you didn't suffer from any of the repercussions of what you're
saying. Hold on, Joe.
All they did
Joe.
Was take the shackles off our legs, off our ankles and our wrists and put them on our brains. We're still enslaved. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
So you're saying you're enslaved psychologically by what happened in the past?
Yeah,
absolutely, man, most definitely.
Generation after generation, slavery was passed down generation after generation.
Well, what about, the case then?
In my
what about the 1.25 million enslaved that were, that white slaves that were also enslaved during the same period of 1830 and 1800?
You talking about the slobs? Are you talking about the slobs, Joe?
No, they came from the European nations.
The slobs.
Or are you talking about, the indentured servants?
Are you talking about the indentured servants, right? Yeah, are those the white slaves you're referring to? And what black people own them?
Right. As if
exactly.
They
would
never let them.
And then another misconception, too, Joe.
And don't keep trying to run with this bullshit narrative. If they were slaves, what black people own them?
The Ottoman Empire enslaved millions of Europeans.
What, the Ottoman Empire.
Okay,
it doesn't matter. We still suffered slavery. The psychological effects of that affect me today.
That's not the same thing.
Okay, but Joe.
That's like apples and tomatoes. That's not the same thing, Joe.
Yeah.
Any form of slavery is bad.
No, Joe, because y'all always try to come with this any form of slavery. We have the most brutal slavery imaginable in the history of this planet.
Yeah.
He's right about that, Joe. Yeah, it's very brutal. They put brands
You know what the Ottoman Empire used to do to their slaves? Do you understand?
They used to turn them into
slaves.
Yes, the same thing the white slave master did, castrate them and turn them into eunuchs. Yes, Joe, we are very aware of the history. You're not talking to dummies here. We know your history and our history as well.
So can we fix that? Can we fix that? No.
Yeah, you can fix that by cutting the check. That's the only way you're going to fix that. America must atone for its horrors and pay what is rightfully owed to the builders of this nation.
Right.
Then we can all get along and all that bullshit. But until then, no,
What did you design? What did even your ancestors
design
and build?
Oh, man, glad you brought it up, Joe.
Another one was the air conditioner.
Another one was
right
the peanut
Joe,
oil for Dr. George Washington Carver. Also, too, man, there was mechanism for freight trains or the steam trains that went from this coast all the way to the East Coast, invented by a gentleman by the name of McCoy, where you get the term the real McCoy from, that lubricated the wheels of the trains or the choo-choo trains. Now, you go up there, man, to a place called Dana Pass, right? Okay, in California, you know, 7,557 feet, because I've been to the summit many a time, got snowed in there a couple of times. They even got a plaque up there to the Chinese Americans that lost their lives building the Trans-Pacific Railroad. Now, keep in mind, that there was from San Francisco to New York. Now, you also have to keep in mind, Joe, you had the Southern Pacific Railroad that was built by slaves, by blacks, from Los Angeles, California to Atlanta, Georgia. That's where you get the old folklore of John Henry from. You see?
Okay.
So
you have to check that out as well, too. Now, also, too, Joe, there's another cesspool, man, which is about 300 miles south of west of me, called Hollywood, California, the city of Los Angeles, right? And look at all the black movie makers there who had their talent stolen from that industry. Look at Oscar Mashour. They stole his ideas. You see what I mean?
Not chattel slavery, Joe.
Yeah,
chattel slavery is a whole other type of slavery. It's the worst, the most brutal, yet there is no comparison to it.
And it was intentional.
Okay, see, Joe, this is not hatred, Joe. This is not hatred. This is not hatred, Joe. What we're doing is, man, is that we speak against the popular version of what is truth on this platform, okay? You're not going to sit up there and give us that snow job, man. You're not dealing with no Tim Scotts and no Herschel Walkers right here, okay?
He's innately going to defend his people.
Yeah, but give us, like,
Well, why not? Why not? I mean, I'm going to defend the truth. That's what I'm going to defend. You know, and I want to speak the truth.
All that we put on you is
fragility.
Okay, I'm not denying what you're saying. I'm not denying what you're saying.
Okay, but Joe,
no,
we're not going to bite our tongues and not speak against
travesties
and horrors that were committed to keep you comfortable. You see what I'm saying? Because that's not progress. Now, also too, Joe, you stated on your platform many a times that I've listened to, man, without saying nothing, calling in off that unknown number, okay, is that I listened to some of your guests on your show, you know, making the very derogatory terms about my people. And then on top of it as well, too, saying, well, why don't you blacks just forget? No, man, y'all made it a point for us not to forget. Go see a motion picture called 12 Years as a Slave. Go see a motion picture called Mandingo.
Yeah,
go see a motion picture called The Imitation of Life. You made it a point, and I'm not saying Joe, not Joe Gibson personally.
Joe.
I'm talking about Joe on a collective basis. See, you made it a point for us not to forget. That's why we always had to say, Yaza, no, sir, and don't look at white folks in the eye and all that old type of shit. And this is why the heavyweight champion in the 1960s made a great sacrifice of standing up for what he did when he refused to go to Vietnam. See?
But you would see, if Muhammad Ali was alive today, he would debate, he would argue with some of these points that you're bringing, because there's plenty of documented videos of Muhammad Ali before he lost his powers of speech, where what you're saying is correct during the 1960s. When he, but through the 70s and 80s, he was very outspoken, and he did not speak these things like some of the comments that are being made here that are derogatory towards all white people.
Goddamn lie, Joe.
No.
That's a damn white lie, Joe.
Joe. Yeah.
Okay,
like
let's
get
a video.
Right, okay, now listen to me on this here, Joe. There's a statement that Mr. Ali had made in 1967 when he refused induction. Okay, is that he said and I got banned off of Facebook for this for 30 days, you know, so they're probably going to shadow ban us on this here. As when he says is that ain't no Viet Cong ever called me a nigga. Ain't no Viet Cong ever bombed my church. Ain't no Viet Cong ever killed our babies and hung and castrated our men, folks. You know what I'm saying? Dude, that was what white Americans did. Also, too, Joe, when you look at Tulsa, Oklahoma, when you look at Rosewood, Florida, you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
What they did, well, they burned down the whole town. You see what I'm saying? Because black people were self-sufficient, and then that they would also too. Yeah, go ahead.
Lady Kay got a question she want to ask Joe Gibson. Go ahead, Lady Kay.
Okay, all right, go ahead, Lady Kay.
Mr. Gibson, here's my question. Okay, since you want to start over so much right now, I got two questions. Okay, here's the first one. How do you feel about lineage-based reparations, cash payments to foundational Black Americans right now, currently, as the state it's in? How do you think that Gavin Newsom should handle it? That's one question. Two, second question. I am running for office. Oh yeah, and you're running for office. Can you tell the people a little bit about your campaign, because we perused over there for a little bit when you were calling the state, and we were giggling about that over here. But I really want to know, because this is a very important topic for Foundation of Black Americans. So we want to know your thoughts, being a European-based American. We want to know what you think right now, since you want to start over. Then we carry this little dialogue forward. Thank you, sir.
All right. What I think about reparations in the state of California and Governor Newsom, that would be your first question, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think there should be any reparations paid to any peoples whatsoever in the state of California, because it would discriminate against one group over another. And if we're trying to get above discrimination and start over, then how are you going to pay one group and not another? Because all people have suffered some sort of slavery throughout the history of the world.
Okay, Joe. Your slavery in the United States of America was the most brutal in the history of mankind.
I got to get to this. Every group that was accosted by this country, by this government, has been paid, Joe, except one group
really?
Of people. Can you guess
group
of people?
Japanese Americans,
the Irishmen, the Italians have been paid.
Okay, well, you see, Joe, you're Irish. We're the overseas. Okay, why do you think you got so many black people by the last name of McDonald, McCain?
The Irish in themselves have not been paid separately as a race.
Yes, they have, Joe.
Where?
They
show me where and when.
When were they chattel slaves, Joe?
Yeah, really.
Well,
they
suffered at the hands of this government discrimination. Wait a second. That wasn't your question.
When were they chattel slaves, Joe?
Not in this country. They were never,
slaves,
never,
Joe.
Never, never,
okay.
never.
All right.
They
the
suffered discrimination and racism.
That's the truth, Joe. Never.
We got lost. Over
never. So what are they supposed to be compensated for, Joe?
Yeah, and not only that, some people have been, these atrocities happened in other countries that the government is paid for. And we have to be taking the kick still, right? Some of this shit happened in other countries, right?
Yeah, like the so-called Holocaust.
Right. And we paid
that. That didn't happen in America. So.
I disagree with that. I don't think they should have paid anything.
You can disagree with it all you want. It doesn't make it true. It didn't happen in America,
right.
Joe. It happened in Germany.
Okay.
That's right. You're right. That's correct.
We can't speak about them and they're one time.
They get paid every year, Joe.
Every year.
I know. I disagree with you. You're right. And I'm against
that. The Holocaust.
And you're against us getting reparations too.
But they get reparations.
But the thing that Joe needs to understand is like I stated before on a YouTube video, and I think I got shadow banned on that one, is that you're an entrepreneur who takes him $100, okay? He buys him two slaves, and he's got them farming cotton, tobacco, and what have you, off his $100, right? That cotton and that tobacco brings $1,000. He parlays that again, and now he's brought the $1,000, brought $10,000, and then it brings $100,000. Then it brought $1,000,000. This is just using this as an example, and it all initially started off of that slave who was out there forced to pick that cotton and or tobacco. So, yeah, that's the justification for reparations.
Do you think the kingdoms of Africa owe the ancestors of the slaves anything? All right.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Okay, Joe.
Well,
but you got to keep in mind, Joe, is that I've stated on your podcast before is that the ones who did the selling were captured as well, too, was all the part of divide and conquer. You see what I'm saying? Dr. Umar Johnson hit you on that one, Joe.
I agree.
Okay, you see. And so therefore, Joe, so what it is that they came with, okay, Joe, what they came with was the concept of divide and conquer. Just like as I was looking out here in the state of Nevada, the state of Arizona, and the state of Utah, and the state of California, they did the same damn thing to the indigenous people, too. The first form of biochemical warfare was the smallpox that they put in a blanket that they gave to the indigenous people of America from the
eugenics program. Yes, the eugenics programs, yes.
Now let's look at hold it. Now let's look at your girl Margaret Sanger with Planned Parenthood. Okay, the first ones who they wanted to experiment on were black women. You see what
I'm
saying?
That's right. Yeah.
Form
I
of
agree.
Genocide.
Yeah.
Okay. Form of genocide. Now hold on, Joe. See, so this is what the reparations is for, is because you see of all the billions and trillions upon dollars that have been made off of that. You see? Okay. Now. Just like how they killed affirmative action. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And they're going to sit up there and say, you need to get in on your marriage.
I think the affirmative action, the affirmative action, it should be done so on class, not race.
Okay, Joe. But what it is, though, Joe. Okay, Joe, but what it is, though, see, we're talking about justice here, Joe. You see what I'm saying? It's because I think this is one of your one of your sympathizers that I listened to his show yesterday, and he wouldn't let me come on. So evidently, he must have heard about my platform or our platform here at Frontline Black News ahead of time because they wouldn't let me speak. They were crumb-bumming on Biden, which I don't have no problem with, okay? They were also crumb-bumming on the reparations issue. And when they screened me, I told them we would be diametrically opposed. You see what I'm saying? I hit them with my facts as well, too. So they didn't let me speak, and I knew they wouldn't. Okay,
I got no control over that. I disagree with that. You know that. I let everybody on my platform.
Okay, Joe, I'm not saying that you had any control over it, Joe. But as I stated before, and even you had stated halfway when we had the one and only Sarge up there, you know, who's always cussing me out every 5 minutes, and he likes to read the Constitution and what have you. If you are going to have some racial healing in this country for the atrocities that the Europeans have committed against, I'm not going to use the term people of color because I'm a black man in America, or any of against any and all non-Europeans, you say you got to discuss this, man. Okay, now let me ask you a question, Joe. What about the Penny Annie dude, man, that murdered Mr. Neely there on the New York subway?
Oh, you're talking about the one that strangled him, that strangled that kid? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's murder in the second degree, Joe.
I wasn't there, so I really can't comment on news reports, Joe. That are probably fake. I mean, you know.
Yeah, pattern, Joe. You literally see black people as children, and that's how you refer to us.
Okay, see, Joe.
Mr. Neely, he was a kid, wasn't he?
No, he was 30 years
no,
old.
No, he was
I don't know. I don't know the case then. What are you talking about?
Okay, this is the one where the Marine Corps veteran strangled
Mr. I know. Okay, yep. All right. I remember that one now.
And that man was thirsty. He was emaciated. Okay, so there's a definite connection between your mind and your stomach when you are hungry. Okay, and he went on and strangled that man because he thought that he was a threat, you know, to all the people on the subway. Now, how in the hell is somebody weighing 110 pounds hungry, dehydrated, is going to be a threat to people on a public conveyance?
Was that person mentally handicapped and challenged, and wasn't he like assaulting people? Doesn't he have a record of like 40 felonies of assaulting people?
To plead not guilty to killing Jordan Neely. What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
Who? Yeah. I didn't hear him.
Okay.
He had the audacity, the Penny Annie, the bastard in New York that killed Jordan Neely, the suspected white supremacist, because he's what he is until proven otherwise.
Right.
He's a white supremacist.
He suspected.
Oh, yeah.
Suspected. Okay.
You are all suspected white supremacists. Until proven otherwise.
Why are we all? Aren't you performing a form of discrimination there and supremacy by labeling everybody?
No, not at all.
How are you expecting any healing on racial discrimination with that type of attitude?
Discrimination, Joe. No. Telling the truth is not discrimination, Joe.
That's discriminative.
Exactly.
You just said suspected. How is that truth?
He strangled this man, Joe, which means he had special skills to kill a black man.
So they say he's suspected. I say he already killed somebody. So he is a supremacist, in my opinion. So it doesn't even matter. But, Joe, what do you think about him pleading not guilty to him doing some cowardly move, like coming up behind a black man and strangling him to death?
He came up from behind him? I don't think that's what the video shows.
That is what the video shows, Joe. We watched the video.
I'd like to see the video.
On our individual platforms, Joe.
Can you put it in the chat room so I can see it?
And choked him out.
As if he was a threat. He said he was a threat. But he didn't take him face forward. Because we know that your race doesn't
are a bunch of cowards.
Your race will never stand.
My race is a bunch of cowards.
Yes.
My race is a bunch. Now tell me, Shabaka. Now that's a blanket statement. You're going to tell me that that's not wrong?
No.
Okay, but Joe. Okay, but the scenario that we're looking at, Joe, as where this Marine who is specially trained and
are we not individuals here? Are we not individuals, or are we just all one grouped into one plot and that's it? And that's how we're going to judge people?
Okay, Joe. Okay, Joe, you're deflecting away from the question. You're deflecting away from the question, Joe. Okay, when that man murdered Jordan Neely, that was murder. Okay, and he did not, and he used more force that was necessary to prevent the quote-unquote threat that he had made to the general public, which was
if that gentleman was a threat
only,
to those passengers,
he only weighed 110 pounds, man.
It doesn't matter if he weighs 50 pounds. You could still kill somebody.
He only weighed 110 pounds.
We'd all be drunk, bro. If was
it
wasn't 50,
matter.
We would all be drunk right now, Joe. That has
it
nothing to do
matter.
With anything that Tabaco is talking about. You keep deflecting like your people love to do. And gaslight and all that other diabolical shit y'all love to do.
Yeah, my people.
Can you please, your people. This is what you represent,
my
Joe.
People.
We've
okay.
been on your program.
I represent my
like
people.
We
okay.
You, out.
You haven't been on my program.
I have been on your program, Joe. That's a damn lie.
You have? You have. And you called in. And what did you call in? Did you call in as a caller or a crank caller? Because I can't, I don't remember having a conversation. Okay.
Yeah, calling
I called in, Joe. Joe,
because,
been around
because,
for 7 years.
Well, see, I'm going to make the same blanket statement because that's what you people do.
Years,
you call, you call me and harass me.
I've been calling in since 2016, 2017. I've called into your show in 2018. I've called into your show in 2019. I called into your show recently, Joe. So that's besides the point. We know where to stand for. We know what your callers are all about. So what are y'all as a people, white people, going to do to cause a reprimands, right the wrongs of your past so we can all move along and kumbaya into the sunset, Joe?
Not going to happen.
And why is it not
going to happen? Because even if it was to happen, even if you were to receive any type of payment or reparations, there's going to be another group that comes after you that's going to say they're owed reparations. So it's not going to happen.
Okay, well, I could care less. Joe, on that, I could care less. You know what I'm saying? This is as long as we get ours.
It's going to come after us, Joe.
And check it out. If they do, it's because they've lived in a world of imagination.
What other group, Joe? The LGBTQ already getting reparations, Joe.
Yeah.
The next generation of black, the next black generation, the next black generation.
The next black generation. The next,
black men, black women. So they should be paid every generation, every black person forever in America, forever in America. Every black person should be paid.
We're not even out of slavery longer than we were in it, Joe. What are you talking about?
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Yes, it can, Joe.
It
most certainly can.
Best of luck to you. Best of luck to you, but it's not going to happen.
Okay, well, Joe, that's your opinion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, I'm here in Las Vegas, man. People are going to say what's going to happen and that's going to happen. That's why they call it gambling.
Exactly.
You know
what
I'm saying?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you got more casinos here in a little bit for a game of chance.
If I was a gambling man, though, I'd say I would gamble that it's not going to happen.
Joe,
well,
if you were in
charge
of the country, would you not? Why you wouldn't give us reparations?
No, I would not.
What would be your basis for that?
But I thought that all men were created equal here according to the Constitution, Joe.
We are. And everybody, if I was in charge of the country, everybody would have the same opportunity. Everybody would be given the same
Lord
opportunity.
Have mercy. Okay, man, let's look at these guys. Hamilton, Washington, Jefferson, okay, Adams, okay.
Am I wrong?
These guys are slaveholders, man. Okay.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
Okay, you see, what we're talking about here, Joe, is called hypocrisy. You see?
Yes,
it's hypocrisy. Okay, hold on a second, Joe. Now, let's talk about old Frog Face, the former governor of Alabama. You remember Frog Face, Joe. Segregation yesterday, segregation day, and segregation tomorrow. Okay, old Frog Face, right? Okay, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Now, the current governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee or whatever what her name
Huckabee,
is, wants to tear down the monument that was built up to the Little Rock Nine. Have you ever looked at the film of how that woman, Elizabeth Eckbert, was intimidated about what they were calling her, all kind of foul names? And what have you, and then they spit in her face, Joe. And also, too, Joe, what about little Ruby, wait a minute, what about little Ruby Ridges, the little six-year-old girl? You know, they had to have the U.S. military escort her to elementary school because nobody wanted to teach her. And she was up there by herself, and that little baby is going up there into a fire zone of danger. Only 6 years old,
okay.
Joe.
All right. All right.
But Joe. How is the U.S. going to atone for that atrocity?
Every
How are you, like
incident
a heavyweight holder,
crime?
Joe, and also, too, Joe, and then answer me this, riddle me this. I asked this on your show. Now, what about all them brothers, man, who was taken and castrated and lynched down there in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida,
we can't
Louisiana,
bring them back, Chewbacca.
Mississippi?
We can't bring them back, Chewbacca.
Okay,
we
but
can't
Joe,
bring them back, can we?
You know, but Joe, but they're torturers and their murderers were never brought to justice, Joe. You see,
That's not true at all. Many people have gone to prison over the years because of that.
Joe, they were never brought to justice, Joe.
Nobody was ever brought to justice, Joe. Are you saying nobody's ever been brought to justice for those crimes?
Not when they killed them at two, no.
Yes, they have.
Them dudes ain't never did a day in jail, man, and murdered Emmett Till. Them dudes ain't never did a day in jail.
What about the church bombing in Alabama? The church bombing in Alabama. They were brought to justice.
What about who in Alabama?
Remember the church bombing in Alabama when the three little girls were murdered?
Oh, yeah,
three children?
You're talking about 1963. That there was in September of 1963 when they bombed the church. And
that's
killed
right.
four little black girls. Yeah, Joe.
Yes.
Them
they were
clowns
brought to justice,
was never
correct.
Brought to justice.
How long did
yes, they were.
Take?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
How long
they were?
No, they weren't, Joe. They all died.
How long did it take?
No, they were brought to justice.
Was it immediate,
Chewbacca,
Joe?
Look it up.
Was it immediate? Was it immediate, Joe?
No, it was. No, it was not.
No, exactly. No, it was not. Exactly. No,
was your kids not listening? Was your lady
hear what
not listening, Joe?
He said.
I can't hear her.
No,
what she said.
Was your lineage not looking up to?
No.
You don't know. You said no.
I can't hear. I can't understand what you're saying. My lineage, you're saying? My past?
Yeah, your lineage, your people. Were they not lynching us too? No, you're sure. Because I beg to differ.
Okay, well, you're going to tell me more about my past, myself, than me.
None of your race lynched us, fed us to fucking gators, cut off our private parts.
No.
None of that happened, right?
No.
You're sure.
No. Well, it's true. I'm telling you right now.
Was your family Quakers, Joe?
No, they were not.
Where are they from, Joe?
Where are your family from? You said you're Italian, right?
I'm almost mostly Italian. Yes, that's correct. And my grandparents came over here on a boat. Okay.
Columbus.
Came here on a boat. And where did they land, Joe?
Yeah, where did they land, Joe?
Ellis Island.
Yeah, because that's where all the European immigrants landed, Joe.
That's where the Italians were discriminated against, okay, and got put into little places up there, okay? That's right. But we didn't cry about it, did we? We got raised ourselves up, and we fought back.
You didn't cry because you got under the umbrella of whiteness.
We were protected, sure. Eight people living in one apartment. Yeah, okay.
You gave up your original name to be assimilated into whiteness, Joe. Your family, that's what they did when they came over here to Ellis Island, Joe. So your whole call of discrimination claim, that is null and void because you are considered white, Joe, which means you reap the benefits of being white in a white supremacist country. such as the United States of America.
My grandparents' name was Rondo, okay? My grandfather's name was Hector Rondo, okay? That's Calabrese from Italian, okay?
Okay. So are you a Costanova?
No.
No, actually, we're not. No.
No.
Do you have any affiliation with La Costa Nostra, Joe?
No, I do not.
Okay, so you were indigenous, right?
Yeah. So, okay. Joe, was your family involved in the draft riots of the 1900s?
No, I don't know. I don't even know what you're in reference to, actually. I don't know.
The unions, Joe.
Your people said they created the unions.
Were they a part of any of the unions, Joe?
In fact, they were not. There was the motherfucking.
No, hold on. He needs to answer this. Were they a part of any of the unions, Joe?
No.
Yes or no?
No, I just said no.
That
so, so what were your people doing for a living, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
My grandfather was a truck driver, actually.
Truck driver delivering what?
He drove for Smith's Trucking.
Smith's Trucking. Okay, Joe.
Smith's Trucking.
So
yes.
Union.
Right.
No, actually they were non-union. Actually they were non-union trucking outfit because when they closed down, my grandfather lost all his benefits.
Oh, he lost all his benefits.
Where?
But he
that's
still
right,
had benefits.
Pension and everything. No, he lost them all, actually.
Well, no, before he lost them, Joe, he had benefits, right?
Through the company, yeah. Through the company, yeah, of course. When you work for a company, you would hope to get benefits, right?
Okay, and who created the company, Joe?
I told you, it was Smith's Trucking. I don't know who was the owner and CEO of the company.
Well, you need to find out, Joe.
All right, either way.
Why do I need to find out? They screwed my grandfather over.
He still had benefits, Joe.
No. In 1986, they told all the truckers, go home, you're fired.
Definitely. Okay, Joe. In 1986.
Well, they closed up. Listen, you can look it up, man. It doesn't make a difference. I know what happened when I was a kid.
You don't even know who owned the company that your people worked
Smith's
for.
Smith's Trucking. It was a big, large. Look it up. It was a large trucking outfit.
You look it up, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't need
don't
to look it up.
Know. Yes, you do.
You're right. I don't. But
you know
what?
You
I really don't care.
It doesn't matter if
I really don't care because it doesn't affect me today.
It doesn't affect
because
you
want to know
though.
Why? He went and got another job, and my father went and worked for somebody else, and I grew up and working. So you know what? That's we pulled ourselves up out of it, and I don't blame anyone else for it.
Blue-collar worker, you know, that's what you're saying.
Right.
Blue-collar worker, white-collar, whatever you want to call it.
Hard-working man. You're a working man, right?
You just got off on your marriage.
That's right. I'm a small business owner. That's right.
You're a small business owner. And where did you get the capital for that small business, Joe?
Worked for it. I started out with one lawn. And then I had 67 lawns. And I had 10 employees. Oh, and three of them are black, by the way.
Oh, they are. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. And, yeah, I didn't treat them like dirt either.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
one of them was actually my friend. Well, actually, we became friends afterwards. Actually quit and he went into the military, but.
Oh, and you were in the military, Joe?
Yeah, before I got kicked out.
What did you get kicked out for,
I worked
Joe?
For the government. Read the book called Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett.
We're asking you questions and direct answers.
What do you want to know? What do you want to know? I got kicked out. Yes, I got kicked out. I got into a fight at a bar with a bunch of Navy SEALs. Yes.
And what color were the Navy SEALs?
Actually, three of them were black, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Yeah, you believe it. They were my friends. They were fighting with me. They were fighting with me. We went into a biker bar and started a fight.
Oh.
And the biker?
Yeah, in New Haven, Connecticut. Yeah.
In New Haven, okay.
Actually, you want to know the truth, actually? You know what actually happened? One of the bikers, which was a white guy, okay, was a racist, called one of my buddies a nigger, and that's what started the fight.
And he said it proudly. Ooh, you didn't hesitate at all, Joe.
No, I'm telling you the truth. What, you want me to lie?
No, we prefer your honesty.
Honesty, yeah, upfront.
Okay. Well, that's the truth of what happened.
Okay, so both of your parents were in the union, or just the dad, granddad? How far back are we going? You said 1986, though. How long has the people even been in this country?
Yeah, as immigrants.
My great grandparents came over here in 1896, and were in that vicinity.
And y'all never went back to Ireland?
A couple of my uncles did, and great uncles did, but no, not my grandparents or anything like that. No.
They were tethers and anchors.
Mm-hmm.
So tethers
they were
and
what?
Anchors is where you come from.
So you're a European anchor
tethers,
baby.
Anchor baby.
Whatever you want to call it, I don't know. Like I said, they came over here and they were poor. They were dirt poor until about the 1940s.
Well, you didn't even have anything to do with the creation of this country, though.
Right.
Well, like I said,
so
they were dirt poor until about the 40s or 50s, you know.
Of reparations when you are anchored to this country.
I'm a what?
The benefit of our suffering.
Yeah, you're.
How am I reaping any
benefits?
What are you talking about? My great-great-grandparents were so damn poor. Let me tell you something. They were so poor. There was eight or nine of them living in one-room apartment. What are you talking about? In the ghettos of Little Italy.
The ghettos of Little Italy.
Yeah, New York. You know, in the Bronx and Queens and stuff like that, yeah.
I'm very familiar with those projects, Joe.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
You know, 5 points.
But either way, that makes that's neither here nor there. Your family is tethered and anchored to this country.
Yep.
So how can you deny foundational Black Americans, the country that they built, where that your family is anchored to, reparations? How can you honestly say that with a clear conscience?
Why should my family pay any reparations at all? Why? They came over here as illegal immigrants, got their immigration status, and became U.S. citizens.
You're an immigrant, Joe.
You're illegal here. Yeah, your family was illegal here.
You're a legal immigrant.
They came over here illegal. No, they they came over illegally and then became legal, citizens.
No,
I think it took 10 years, actually.
I think it took
10 years for them to get their status as U.S. citizens.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
I told
Joe.
You they came over on a boat. I told you they came over on a boat.
Illegally.
So you're an immigrant, Joe.
Your family is tethered.
They applied for citizenship and got it after about 10 years.
After they got here, Joe.
After they got
here. Okay. All right. Okay.
And they reaped the rewards. They snuck in and reaped the rewards that we worked
hard for. They didn't sneak in. They didn't sneak in here.
Yes, they did, though. They didn't come here illegally.
They didn't come here with permission?
Yes, they did. They came. Many were getting funneled over. Many came over here on boats at that time.
At that time, though.
Yes.
We came over here on boats, too. You know what the difference was?
We were kidnapped.
What was the difference?
Kidnapped.
We came here involuntarily. We came here against our will.
Yeah, we weren't criminals.
Who's to blame for that, though? Who's to blame for that, though? Didn't the kings of that? You didn't. You didn't.
No, you didn't.
No.
Maybe your great-great-great-great-grandparents did.
Yeah.
We are not anchored or tethered here, though, Joe. That's different.
Why not? What do you mean you're not anchored here? You're telling me your mother and father and grandparents didn't become citizens, aren't citizens?
Of chattel slavery.
We're not immigrants, though.
Yep.
We're not immigrants.
Not at all.
That's the difference, though.
Your family is snuck over here on a boat, illegally came in the country.
They didn't sneak over here.
Got the benefits of becoming citizens. You, sir, your family are anchored and tethered illegally to this country.
They're not here illegally. What are you talking about? They're not here. They became citizens. They became citizens. What are you talking about? After the fact, so what? They still became citizens.
That matters, Joe. It matters.
There is no so what.
Well, it don't matter to me. It don't matter to me because you're talking four generations ago, and you know what? I was born here. I was born here.
Why would it matter to you?
Would never care about our.
You came to a country.
I was born here.
Yeah, your ancestors came here to the country that the slaves built.
Right.
There were no slaves in 1905 and 1902 building America. Okay. Certainly not New York City.
That's a lie, Joe.
Oh, what slaves were in New York City? What slaves were in New York City? Come on.
Joe, do you even know how Wall Street came about?
Yes,
well, let me guess. The slaves built it. Let me guess. The slaves built it, right?
Oh, my God.
You know.
Damn stupid.
That's why. That's what an auction block was, Joe.
Yeah.
That's
what
the auction block
was.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. So you're telling me in the early 1900s that there was auctions going on?
Yeah.
Yes, Joe.
Really?
Illegal.
Really? Even after slavery was abolished? After the Civil War?
You weren't born yet.
Your family was going to tell you that they snuck in and are illegally tethered and anchored to this country. Reaping the rewards for foundational black Americans. Right?
Really? Reaping the rewards. Wow. That one-room apartment that they were all crammed in 1895. Wow. Thanks.
Are you aware, Joe, that Brooklyn, New York was one of the biggest plantations in the Northeast?
In 1905.
It don't matter what year. No, it doesn't, Joe. It doesn't matter. You don't even know
what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, though? I don't get it. What's your point?
You owe reparations.
You owe reparations. That's what we're trying to say.
I owe you reparations. Well, I'm not paying. I'm not paying. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to pay.
It don't matter if you're not paying. We're taking it. We already told you that.
You can come and try. You can come and try. Hey, the porch light is on every single night. You can come knock on the door and try.
We're taking everything that you gain.
I've got my best friend sits right next to me.
In the country that's a slave still.
With a 30-round mag. Nobody's coming anywhere in my house taking anything.
Okay,
and you know statistics, Joe, about
that's all we gonna say about that.
Yeah, it's not a threat.
You're nuts. You're nuts. Okay. If you think you're gonna advocate taking anything from anybody, that's a slaughter.
We already know you got the police on speed dial.
Stop it, Joe. You're white.
I got the police on speed dial.
Listen, Joe.
I doubt it.
We know you're white.
How do you know I'm not a cop? How do you know I'm not a cop?
Right, but you know the statistics. Listen, Joe, we know the statistics
exactly.
Of how long it takes for folks to find their gun during a home invasion. Stop it. Anyway, listen.
What's that?
We're just,
home invasion? I didn't hear you. What did you say about home invasions? I didn't hear that.
Listen, Joe, if you just stop talking, I said we know the statistics on how long it takes an actual person to know they're getting broken into to go find their pistol. Calm down. Well, nobody's going to do nothing to you. Okay, we understand your wife.
You think
so,
huh?
We got it. Yeah, we're positive.
Okay.
Listen, Joe. Just calm down. Nobody cares. Listen, you have to admit to yourself, though, that your family lineage is anchored and tethered to this country. That's all we want to hear today. That's all we need you to admit it. You know
is that they're anchored
family,
and tethered.
Your
What's
lineage,
your definition of that?
Your lineage is taking advantage of the hard work, blood, sweat, and toil of foundational black Americans that were here.
I think you're trying to take advantage of the hard work my grandparents did building this country and putting their blood, sweat, and tears into this country.
We didn't go there. You stuck over here on a boat.
Okay.
You're an illegal immigrant.
Doesn't matter how they got here.
It doesn't matter how they got here.
It does matter, Joe. Your family are tethered and anchored.
Okay, but your family chose to come here. Ours didn't.
Right.
We were kidding.
They chose because they wanted a better life.
Your family
Joe, your family chose to come here.
Ours didn't. It's because we were content with what we were doing, man, on the continent. And keep in mind, Joe, we gave the world mathematics. We gave the world engineering. We gave the world art. We gave the world brain surgery.
Wow.
We gave the world dental work. You know what I'm saying? And keep in mind, and also too, Joe, and keep in mind when that drunk by the name of Columbus, who was a drunk, okay, made a wrong turn because of the damn fool thought he was going
to India. There you are, insulting one of our Italian heroes. There you are, insulting one of our Italian heroes. There you go.
Okay, but Joe, he was a drunk, Joe. Joe, this is from this one. Columbus was a drunk. He was a drunk.
Really?
Okay, he was a drunk.
I guess if you consider savages and barbarians heroes.
Kidnapped, rapist, torturer.
Columbus was a savage, man.
He was, really. He was a slaveholder, too, right?
Right.
No, he did something even worse. He started the genocide against indigenous people here.
Do you have anything good to say about any Americans? Actually, do you have anything good to say about any Americans?
No.
So if you can't stand America so much, I got an idea, though. I got an idea. Listen, how much money would it take for you to how much money would it take?
Whoa. Let Joe put out his idea, and we're going to countermand him. Okay,
how much money? How much money would it take? How much money would it take?
Go ahead, let Joe say we're going to stand and we're going to countermand him.
Okay. How much money would it take for you to receive to get to pack up and go to any country in the world that you think is much better?
$100 trillion, Joe.
$100 trillion intangible, Joe.
They don't have that much money. There's not even that much money in the world.
They can go to Silicon Game Valley and get it.
There's only 3 trillion in circulation.
Oh my God.
The country's GDP is 20 trillion plus.
$20 trillion? Our GDP is 20 trillion?
No, 20 trillion, which is the gross domestic product. And as we all know, which is the total amount of goods and services measured financially at any given period of time, rather if it's a month, rather if it's a year, rather if it's 10 years. Okay? And this is what Dr. Zagrui is doing her studies on about suing Hartford Insurance, suing the bank, Lloyd's of London, who insured the slave ships. You see what I mean?
Really?
And then, of course, the brutal. Dr. DeGruy is
they got a lawsuit pending now? They got the lawsuit pending now?
With 7 folks.
Okay, no, Dr. Joyce DeGruy is doing a study on it that she stated that it was going to take her about 5 years to do. And she said it's here 4 years ago, so she should be on the downside. And if Dr. DeGruy, if you do hear us, ma'am, please call in, you know, with your knowledge and
I'd like to look into this. I'd really like to hear this, what her study has come up with.
All you got to do is Google her.
About racial black Americans.
That's all, man, Joe.
Please.
Illegal immigrant.
My family comes from an illegal immigrant. And our hero carried 7 boats of slaves.
Let me ask you this here, Joe. On a collective basis, with your people, why are you so against reparations? Why do you think that you could take our intellectual property, brutalize us, have the police kill us? You see what I'm saying? And
let the police
sit up there and sing "Kumbaya." Come on, man.
Let the police kill you.
Come on.
Is he aware that the Irish basically took over the police departments?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, in Chicago and New York City. Ask Sarge about that.
There's a lot of corruption.
Yeah, ask Sarge about that. Yeah, where is Sarge? You know, how is Sarge? Yeah, we need to
know where
on that
is.
One
he's
right
disappeared.
There.
He's disappeared, actually.
What?
He's disappeared,
Why?
Actually.
Is he at Gold's Gym?
I don't know.
Sarge. Okay, you said Sarge disappeared. What did you do with Sarge, Joe?
Yeah, Joe?
I don't know. Why? You guys know something I don't? Because I'd like to know where he is. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, okay, we haven't either. Well, we hope he's okay. Now, Sarge, at least Sarge, when he disagrees with us, Joe, he disagrees with us agreeably. Sarge stick to his guns, although I believe that 55% of the time he's wrong. Yes, sir. We research our stories, Joe, and then we also look at the experience of what we live through being black in America as a point of reference as well, too, Joe. And you ought to try going to Los Angeles sometimes. You know what I mean?
He's done too much.
Yeah, go to Los Angeles and encounter the LAPD, man. Yeah, it's quite an exhilarating experience. It really is.
I'm sure.
You know, Rodney King, Dead Wilder, Eula Love. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Joe.
I can't hear what she said. You're welcome, whatever it was you said.
I said thank you for participating, Joe. We, we had an enlightening conversation.
Oh, got another troll in the chat.
And
Duck
we thank
Northwest.
You for being patient.
Feel free to call us Duck Northwest.
Yeah.
I'll see you in the chat. Stroller.
We are thankful that you answered some very pressing questions for us. But can I ask you about your campaign though? I'm ready for August too, so let's talk about your campaign because surely you'd want to talk to the people about your campaign.
Sure.
I'm ready for city council. So it's all fair and war right now. You know, go ahead and tell us about your campaign though. I want to know why you called it the state but didn't leave your information. Like, and you had all the questions and you had the real answers from the senators, but you didn't leave any information for them to call you back on.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Didn't we do a show the other day? The other day, I think it was like last week, you did a broadcast on your show, on your podcast.
Yep.
And you were talking about illegal immigrants. Right.
Oh yeah.
And you wanted to know why the president and why everybody was doing all these atrocities, and you felt that you should have to pay taxes and I don't know what else. But why didn't you leave the information? Why didn't you leave your information so they could call you back?
God, I don't want them calling me.
Yeah, but why didn't you? Like, they didn't even ask you. Didn't you think that was weird? You didn't give nothing up. Or how are they going to get back to you?
Exactly. I don't want them getting back to me, and nobody probably would anyway. So it doesn't matter because they're all a bunch of liars.
Yeah, but why would you tell them you're in California where you're in a whole other state?
Because they would have hung up on me then. If I was from North Carolina, they would have never took one question from me.
Huh. So how do you feel about this open border stuff? How do you feel about your tax money going to house immigrants that have bomb guarded
or
bomb rushed?
Taxes don't pay for the Federal Reserve prints the money.
Right.
Ain't that the pot calling the kettle
black, Joe? Let's talk about that, Joe. They invaded the country, and your taxes are paying for them to be housed immediately. Right.
My
so
taxes
how
don't
do you
pay
feel
for
about that.
That
as a constituent and a person ready for mayor.
My taxes
what are you ready
don't...
for, Bill? I apologize.
North Carolina House District 65, Congress.
House Representative, Congress. Okay.
Yep.
So how do you feel about that? Because those are illegal immigrants that illegally invaded the country illegally and are getting passes to work and vote without
doing
any of the work.
Not in my state it's going to happen, but I know in other states it's happening. It's wrong.
Yeah, because this state isn't a sanctuary state, right? No, right?
No, it's not.
Your state is not a sanctuary state, right?
No. Nope.
Okay, so how do you feel about that though, being that your family lineage is anchored and tethered to the country? And has it actually
like
been worked
said,
for these citizens?
My people came here and they obtained their citizenship legally and lawfully.
Illegal.
Right,
and if anyone wants to come to this country legally,
right?
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, so let's just imagine that your family lineage came in illegally, right? But they did the work, so it took them a while to get legal, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say yes. Okay, let's just say it took them like 10 years or something, like the norm, right? So
about seven and
what
a
do
half
you think
to
about
be
these
exact.
People? Okay, sir. What do you think about these people becoming to vote, drive cars, man police us, right, within 6 months? And not
wrong.
Job, but they can get housed.
Should not be allowed to do that until they're legal citizens.
Right. But let's just say that the government, especially Congress and things like that, are making it possible for this could happen. How would you change that?
I would vote against it. I would draft legislation that would be against that.
Yeah, right. Okay, so are you Republicans? I'm sorry, I'm asking a question I don't know the answer to.
I'm running as a Republican, but I'm really a Constitution Party.
Constitution Party.
Oh, yeah. Joe, okay, you're running as a Republican, Joe? Okay, now,
yes,
Joe,
the Constitution Party doesn't have ballot access right now.
Okay, Joe, you say you're running as a Republican. Now, what do you think about your man, Tim Scott? He's running as a Republican, too. Now, what do you think of Tim Scott, Joe?
I really don't like him, to be honest with you. I don't like the Panthers either.
Okay, man, well, I don't care if you went out there and whooped his ass. I don't dig him either. You know what I'm saying? I really could care less. Okay, because that person is ill. Okay, he is really ill. Now, he can
come here
and state that America is not a racist country. That there was an insult to me. That was an insult, you know, to our personnel here. It was an insult to those of us who made the ultimate sacrifice, man, for civil rights. And then not to mention in the black empowerment era. You see what I mean? Keep in mind, though,
there was racism back in those days.
Okay,
yes.
But hold on, though, Joe. But you got to keep in mind, now, here's one thing I noticed about white America is that they always want to talk about the civil rights era. You had the civil rights era and you had the black empowerment era, but you all don't ever want to recognize the black empowerment era. Why is that? How come you don't recognize the black empowerment era?
I'm unfamiliar with that. Can you explain it to me?
Oh, you're not, huh? Okay, well, Joe, go to the year 1966, okay? And then there was a crew out of Oakland, California, okay, that started the black empowerment era. You see what I'm saying? Oh, by the way, yeah, they were declared public enemy number one by cross-dresser John Edgar Hoover. Now, I never hear you mention anything about him, Joe. Oh, John Edgar Hoover, you had your president afraid of him.
He's a criminal. The FBI is an unconstitutional organization. I mean, it's a criminal organization.
But he violated the oath that he swore to uphold, upholding the U.S. Constitution, which is one of the biggest documents of hypocrisy in the history of mankind.
Constitution is not hypocrisy. Come on. No, it's one of the greatest documents that ever written.
Come on, man. Hold on, Joe. They said in 1776 on this day right here is that all men were created equal, but yet, though, at the same token, here's another group of men coming through here on chains. And also, too, another group of men who came here on chains, and then you're up there violating his women, his daughters, his wives. How come y'all don't want to atone for that, Joe? How come you just don't recognize it? You want to have some racial healing in this country, man. You got to address this stuff, man.
Jefferson wanted to abolish slavery. You know that was originally put in the original Constitution, and they took it out.
That's another white lie.
I guess you believe the lie that George Washington had wooden teeth, and he chopped down a tree from slaves, Joe. It's a fact. The original drafting of the Constitution, Jefferson wanted to abolish slavery. It's a fact, but they took it out.
He did. He reneged.
He had no choice. He was strung up and hung from a tree.
There's always a choice when you're white. There's always a choice.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you think so.
He had no choice. He had
to. Who was holding a gun to his motherfucking head, Joe? Who was holding a gun to his head that he had no choice?
Probably about 55 other signers. You know?
Probably.
So,
Jefferson, the bottom line is it didn't happen anyway. John Adams. George Washington. All these people were slaveholders, Joe.
Tell me something. Do you hate white people? I'm just curious. Do you hate white people?
Joe, it's not a question of hatred, Joe. You can only kick a dog so many times, man. Okay, you
well,
know
like
what I'm
when
saying?
When you come across white people or whatever in society, what do you do? I mean, how do you interact with them?
How do I interact with them?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How do I interact with them?
Your co-host.
No,
yeah, your co-host.
Okay. When I see these stars and bars, Joe, okay, you know what I'm saying? The first thing that I do is I look at is their waistbands. You see what I'm saying? Then I look at their demeanor. Then I look at their tattoos. You see what I'm saying? Then I look at what they got on the license plate. You see, because keep in mind, Nevada is Mississippi of the West. You know that, right?
All right. Okay.
Yeah, Nevada is Mississippi of the West.
Very racist state.
Okay.
They're racist.
Just like
Nevada is. Oh, yeah. You see what I'm saying? Very much so. Now. Another thing, though, too, about the history of Nevada, as you know, oh, by the way, July 4th, yes, sir, we must talk about July 4th, 1910. We all remember July 4th, 1910 in Reno, Nevada.
Let's talk about it.
Yes, sir. Okay, World Heavyweight Championship, Reno, Nevada, July 4th, 1910. Okay,
yep.
And keep in mind that Northern Nevada is much cooler than Southern Nevada is. Now, we all know what happened then when you had World Heavyweight Champion Jack Johnson. Okay. And then, you know, James J. Jeffries, who was undefeated at the time. They went and got him out of retirement. And then them guys sold Jeffries a bill of goods, who was in Burbank, California, which is outside of L.A., where your Burbank Studios is at. And they said,
we're down to the last 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. So we can start the closing comments. Okay, well, anyway, you saw what happened to James J. Jeffries on the 4th of July. Great day, great man. Jack Johnson was, that is, you know what I mean? Okay, the closing comments, okay, the 4th of July for me, I'm going to go first, is cut the check, man, $200 trillion in tangibles. And tangibles 2024 all the way to 2100 and then some. The only way, man, that which I severely doubt that you're going to have any racial healing in this country is the reparations and cutting the checks for the tangibles and separation. Yeah. And that's my closing comment.
Okay,
Brother Che.
It's on Joe, and then it's on Lady Tay, then it's on me.
Okay, go ahead, in that order.
All right. Well, as far as cutting a check and sticking to the top of your show, never going to get any check or any reparations. And if you consider that what you need for racial healing, then I guess we're never going to heal in this country. So, if you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Yep, let them.
Yep. It's on me. Well, Black family, thank you for listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And thank you, Joe, for having a very enlightening Caucasian conversation with us. We learned so much about you. And we're thankful that you participated. You got to hang out and talk with us a little bit. We hope that you learned something about yourself. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Please stay Black Dangerous and blessed by Elizabeth and Joe. We are getting our reparations one way or the other. And, I guess happy 4th of their lives. And stay Black, stay dangerous. And remember, Black family, white lives matter.
Yes, and I am your host, Chan Kruma, co-executive producer of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Thank y'all for tapping in, everybody that called in, Sister Jackie, Brother Nas out of ATL, and of course you, Joe. This is not a day that we should be celebrating. This is a day of mourning, if you will, because our ancestors were enslaved on July 4th, 1776. Those of us that can trace our lineage back to the killing fields of the South during chattel slavery. The jure slavery, the worst kind of slavery imaginable. This is not a day that we should be celebrating. So it's the 4th of their lies, and white lies do matter, and we've heard several of them tonight. We debunked several of them as well, and we're going to continue to debunk those white lies.
Thank you for this is character building, Joe.
So with that being said, make sure y'all check us out every Tuesday at this same time. And also check us out every Friday for Grand Rising with Shabaka, where we will be discussing the black experience from 1,000+ years ago to 10 minutes ago. So please call in with your questions, comments, and concerns. Y'all know the number, 516-418-5996. And also, make sure you like and subscribe to Shabaka EXP on Twitter. Also, like and subscribe to all of our platforms, Frontline Black News, with a double C on YouTube and Facebook, The Revolutionary Agenda on YouTube and Facebook. Make sure y'all add this number to your phone line so you are not being charged for this call. So peace, love, light, reparations, and separations.
No reparations, no vote.
Tangibles, no vote. No reparations, no vote. 2024, tangibles, no votes. So if the dump gets back in office, so be it. Because Sleepy Joe Biden is on his way out. And he's still benefiting from white privilege, and so is his son, Hunter. If he was anything but white, he would be serving major time in prison right now for all the things that he is being charged with. So it just shows that white lives and white lies matter. And we're going to keep fighting that every chance we get. And we will win, black family, despite what the opposition is saying. We will win. We will get our reparations. We will get what is rightfully ours, or this whole country is going to collapse. And we don't give a damn if the Democrats or the Republicans collapse right before our very eyes. And there's all-out chaos, anarchy, you name it, in this country. So cut the check. We come to collect what is rightfully ours, and we're going to take it, period. You can either give it up willingly, or we're just going to take it. Like y'all taking everything that y'all have acquired in the past 500 years. So, through your colonizer, those of us, those of you that are part of the diaspora, the African diaspora, through your colonizer, stop trying to stand in the way of our reparations claim. California, whichever way California goes, the rest of the nation goes. So like it or not, Joe, elected or not, we're going to get our reparations. So thank y'all for tuning in. Stay black, stay dangerous, stay empowered. And we're definitely going to go out with James Brown tonight. Say it loud, I am black and I'm proud. So peace, love, light, reparations, and separations. Thank y'all for joining us. Catch y'all on the next show. Peace. Yeah.